how as Christians, no matter what the circumstances of life may be, we can still rejoice in the Lord. And again, there are many passages. One that come to my mind immediately is 1 Peter chapter 1. And in this particular passage, Peter tells us exactly why it is we should be rejoicing. Notice in your Bibles in 1 Peter chapter 1 and at verse 8, Peter says about Christ, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. And so on the basis of our belief in Jesus, if we really believe in him, then we will rejoice. And Peter says we'll do so in an inexpressible manner. Sadly, there are many people in the world who do not experience joy. In fact, they are so depressed and despondent about life that some of them even contemplate taking their own lives. It is hard to imagine someone being so distraught with the circumstances of life that he or she would commit suicide. But we find by those who have studied such things that over 30,000 Americans every year commit suicide. That is a sad situation. But perhaps as shocking is the fact that those of us in Christ sometimes are guilty of committing spiritual suicide. And when you stop and think about it, in some ways that is, again, even more shocking. Like when you think about physical life, individuals don't have a choice about the fact that they have life. Like you didn't ask anybody whether or not you could be born. We know that comes about by the choices of someone else. But when it comes down to spiritual life, we're alive because of what we decided to do. You being a Christian, you being a child of God, alive spiritually, was 100% your decision. And so it is shocking when we get to the point where we become so callous about spiritual things that we actually do things that will lead to our spiritual death. But sometimes we do that in Christ. Just for a few minutes, I want to talk to you about some things that can cause us to head towards spiritual death. And many times, things that we do on purpose. And as we compare that to physical suicide, there is a comparison in that sometimes people take their own lives physically in an instant in various ways. But then sometimes they will commit suicide slowly. And it might be argued whether or not it is indeed suicide, but some people kill themselves with destructive behavior, like drugs and drinking and that sort of thing. And they may not die right away, but they know that it's very dangerous for them, and it's very likely. You smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day, it's very likely that that's going to kill you. And so sometimes spiritually we do the same thing. I don't know that anyone ever takes his or her life spiritually instantly. I'm not sure that is ever done. I know it's possible. But generally that's not the case. That's not the way it works. It's more of the slow process. It's more of the destructive behavior, but this time spiritually instead of physically, that leads to our demise, and we know that such is the case. It's spiritual suicide. Let me give you some examples of that. If you never study the Word of God, that's spiritual suicide. You know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I think almost all of us here tonight understand that the more we study the Word of God, the stronger we will be. And that if we never study the Word of God, that we're going to become weaker and weaker and weaker until finally we die spiritually. We'll starve to death from a spiritual standpoint. And yet still, there are many people who refuse to put a little time aside simply to study the Word of God. We just heard a passage read for us a moment ago from the book of Hosea, and it's a very familiar passage in which The Bible, God says through the prophet, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that has happened repeatedly. That was certainly the case with the Israelites, because they turned away from God's word and they turned over to idols and spent all of their time worshiping false gods instead of worshiping God. They had a lack of knowledge and they were destroyed as a result of that. But I want you to notice what he says next that's pretty important. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, but then he says, because you have rejected knowledge. It was self-inflicted. They committed spiritual suicide. They rejected the word of God. In this case, it was by rejecting the teachings of the prophets that God sent to them. They simply wouldn't hear the word of God. Today, it's a little bit different for us. And I would argue with you, today it's even worse because we have more ready access to the Word of God than they ever did. We all have Bibles, most of us more than one. We can go and purchase the Word of God in several places. If you wanted to go out and buy a Bible, it wouldn't take you any time at all to go pick one up. We have easy access to God's Word. The truth of the matter is, if we don't know God's Word, it's because we have rejected God's Word. We have decided that we're interested more in other things, physical things. Maybe it's recreation, fun and frolic, or whatever it might be. But other things has grabbed our attention more than the Word of God. And we just don't study. That's spiritual suicide. You're going to starve to death. Every one of us should be studying the Word of God. We should all have the desire to be like Apollos. You remember, the Bible says that he was mighty in the Scriptures. That should be all of us. There's no excuse for any of us not to be mighty in the Scriptures because, again, we have such easy access to it. It's all just a matter of taking the time to study. If we don't, we're going to get weaker and weaker. As I said in the beginning, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that be not ashamed. James, in James chapter 1, he speaks about the importance and the power of the Word of God. In James, the first chapter, you might remember, at verse 21. James chapter 1, at verse 21, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness the implanted word. You can do that by listening to a sermon like you are right now, but also you receive the word of God by taking the time to study. Because as I have said often to you, if this is all that you get, if this is the only time you feed upon the Word of God, you're probably still eventually going to starve to death. You need more. You need to put time aside to read the Bible for yourself. It was Peter in First Peter chapter 2 who reminds us of the importance of this. 1 Peter chapter 2 and at verse 1, he says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. And then he says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you might grow up into salvation. He was talking about the Word of God there. Long for it. I can guarantee you, if you long for the Word of God, and you study the Word of God on a consistent basis, you'll be strong in the faith. If you refuse and you just decide, no, I'm not going to study, I have other things to do, if you reject knowledge from that standpoint, you will starve. And it's spiritual suicide. Don't do that. Take the time to study God's Word. I'll tell you a second way that we can commit spiritual suicide. It's by hanging around sin too much. I think we're all familiar with what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. At verse 33, a very simple and short verse, 1 Corinthians 15, and at verse 33, he begins by saying, as he often does, do not be deceived. And you know that whenever Paul says that, and he writes that quite a bit in his writings, but whenever he starts by saying, do not be deceived, it's because people in the church were being deceived. He didn't write that just to fill space. He's always dealing, whenever he says that, he's dealing with a real problem that people were having. Areas in which people were deceiving themselves about something. Here he says, be not deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. I wonder how many Christians, maybe they wouldn't have the audacity to say it, but how many Christians think, that's not true. I don't really believe that. Let me tell you, this wasn't just man's opinion. This is the writing of an inspired apostle of Christ. This is the Word of God. Don't deceive yourself about it. You hang out with sin too much, whether it is what you watch on TV, whether it is people that you hang around with, whatever it is, you hang out with bad company, it is going to ruin your morals. And you're not going to heaven with bad morals. It's spiritual suicide to do that. We need to have a more healthy respect for the power of sin. Like, it is really amazing when you stop and think about it, that every person who has ever been born into this world, who has reached the age of accountability, every single person throughout the history of mankind, save Jesus Christ himself, has sinned. What does that say? Well, it doesn't say what your local Calvinist wants it to say. He, of course, would say it's because we're born in sin. But we know that's a false teaching. We know, as we mentioned even this morning, that man is created upright. There are many, many passages that tell us we are not born totally depraved. And so it is interesting to contemplate why in the world has every person then who has ever lived anywhere throughout all time sinned except for Jesus? And there's really only one answer to it. That's the power, the alluring power of sin. The weakness of the flesh. That's a lethal combination from a spiritual standpoint. And yet knowing that again, we're all weak in many ways. We're spiritually poor. And knowing the power of sin, isn't that something that we should stay away from instead of keeping company with it? You can think to yourself, I'm so strong, I can handle any situation. I can hang out with sinners. I can hang around sin or read this sinful material or that, or whatever it is, it'll be all right. I'm strong enough to survive, Paul said. Don't be deceived. Bad company will ruin good morals. I like the passage way back in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 4, you remember the story, of course, of Cain and Abel. And it says, and now, at verse 1, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man from with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain, a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. Hundreds of sermons have been preached on this text. I've preached on this passage many times before you. But look at what follows. It goes on to say at verse 6, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? Listen, if you do well, you will not be accepted, or will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must not rule. but you must rule over it. Can you picture that? Sin crouching at the door. God had great advice for Cain, didn't he? If you just do well, you'll be okay. If you just do what's right, you'll be okay. If not, sin is crouching at the door. We need to do everything we can. We know the devil is alive and active, and sin is right there. He's ready to pounce. It is ready. Sin personified, ready to pounce upon us. We're going to be foolish enough to get as close to it as we can without sinning. I've often talked about flirting with sin. I don't know why we do it, but there are so many Christians who think, well, I'm not going to actually sin, but I can get as close to sin as possible without actually sinning, and I'm strong enough to prevail. I can go to the bar, but not drink. I can go to these various situations, maybe some kind of party where there's drinking going on and people engaged in sin, but I hang out with my friends, but I won't participate in that. It's okay. I'm strong enough to overcome. I'll go out with this young lady or this young man, and we'll put ourselves in a situation where sin is crouching at the door, but don't worry, I'm strong enough to prevail. We will not give in to sin. And what happens in most of those occasions? Morals are ruined. Paul said, don't deceive yourself. It's spiritual suicide to put yourself in a situation where sin is crouching at the door. Let's do the very opposite. Let's stay as far away from sin as we possibly can. That's the wise thing to do. If you want to survive spiritually, that's the wise thing to do. I'll tell you another thing, just quickly, is, and I don't know that I have to emphasize it too much in an audience like this, but forsaking the assembly is spiritual suicide. Now again, most here on Sunday night, not everyone, but most here on Sunday night understand the commitment to assembling together. But there's so many in Christ who commit spiritual suicide because they refuse to assemble. And all you have to do, I've often pointed out, it's no coincidence that every member of any local church who regularly forsakes the assembly is weak. I wonder why that is. And most members who attend all services have some strength about them. And there's some exceptions to that, I understand. But what there really is not an exception to is those who forsake the assembly are weak. I've never seen an exception to that. I'm not talking about someone who has to work or, you know, that sort of thing. But those who just rather be doing something else and they just forsake the assembling of the saints, they're weak. And to do that really is spiritual suicide. This is where we gather strength, so that we can face all of the wiles of the devil during the course of the week. Coming together and engaging in worshiping God and doing the things that we do. The singing and the praying. I appreciate the good song leading by Joe and the good singing that you all were involved in a moment ago. Appreciate the good prayer that Jake offered up. He always offers up good, thoughtful prayers. And we learn something. Every song that we sing, every prayer that we listen to, and we're all praying together, aren't we? It builds us up. And studying the Word of God, regardless of what the text is or what the subject is, time spent in the Word of God is always valuable to us. And so, no matter what, really, when we come together, unless our minds are just completely somewhere else, if we are engaged, we're strengthened by our time together. So it's no coincidence that those who do that regularly, and not only do it regularly, but enjoy it and even look forward to the times when we can come together and worship God in spirit and truth, they're strong. And those that aren't, those who forsake, just grow weaker and weaker until finally they just stop coming altogether. They die spiritually. It's spiritual suicide to do that. If you find yourself, and sometimes, you know, it's a slow process, and sometimes it can happen to even those in the Sunday night crowd. Right now, you're attending regularly, but what happens sometimes is you something creeps into your life and you lose a little bit of interest, and maybe you just stop coming to Sunday morning Bible study. Well, that's not much. I'm still coming to Sunday morning worship, and I'm still coming back at night. I even come to Wednesday night Bible study. But after a while of not attending Sunday morning Bible study, all of a sudden, Wednesday night Bible study goes by the wayside. And you need to catch yourself, and you need to realize, I'm committing spiritual suicide. Before I know it, I won't be attending hardly at all until I get to the point where I die spiritually. Let's look forward to our services. It's a blessing. It's a privilege. It's an honor to be able to come together and to worship God. Let's look forward to it and continue to be strengthened by it. I think you get the point of the lesson. There are several other things we could certainly talk about tonight, but destructive behavior spiritually. We need to examine ourselves to make sure that we're not doing things that may not kill us immediately, but slowly and surely will take away our spiritual strength. We become weaker and weaker until finally we die spiritually. Spiritual suicide, just as shocking as physical suicide, especially when we consider that it was our choice to be made alive in the first place by the grace of God, by obeying the gospel. Let's maintain that life. Let's strengthen that life by doing the right things and behaving in the right ways. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't even obeyed the gospel. You are right now spiritually dead. As Paul put it in Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 1, you are dead in trespasses and sins. The prince of the power of the air is your ruler. But you can change that, even this night. You can get away from him and serve the one who is a great ruler, the ruler of righteousness, the King, Jesus Christ. You can make him your master. He loves you. He wants to save you. He wants you to be in heaven after a while. If you need to exchange rulers, this is a good time to do it, even tonight. Obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Start serving righteousness and forsaking the devil, so that you can go to heaven forever. Doesn't happen by accident. Have to obey the gospel. Acts 2 at verse 38, repent and be baptized, Peter said, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can do that tonight. If you're here and you haven't been living the way you should, if you have allowed sin to creep into your life, maybe you're dying spiritually, maybe you're already dead, you can do something about that. You can repent and ask God for forgiveness. Why not do that tonight? Get back on the right track before it's too late. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.